Where is the U.S. going to build its next offshore wind farm? And how will the clean energy transition impact individuals' pension funds? Welcome to the Climate Recap from the Becosphere Climate Corner, your go-to place for international and U.S.-based climate news. I'm Becky Hogue, a science writer. Today is Monday, May 30th. Let's jump right into the news you need to start your day. Let's start with a climate study. The World Economic Forum released a new report estimating that South Africa will need $250 billion over the next three decades to transition to clean energy. South Africa is the 12th largest emitter in the world, with most of its energy coming from coal. So around half of that $150 billion investment would be used to ramp up solar and wind projects. At the United Nations Climate Conference in November, the United States, France, Germany, the United Kingdom, and the European Union promised to provide $8.5 billion to South Africa to help it transition from coal, and the details of that agreement are still being hashed out. $8.5 billion is much less than $250 billion. Let's hear some climate victories. On Thursday, the Supreme Court allowed the Biden administration to use a higher estimate for the societal cost of rising greenhouse gases when federal agencies draft regulations. This decision, which can be reversed by the next president, was in response to Louisiana and some other Republican-led states trying to prevent federal agencies from estimating the cost of climate change, called the social cost of carbon. The Obama administration originally set the cost that the Trump administration then lowered. The states claimed that Biden's move to increase the cost was, quote, a power grab designed to manipulate America's entire federal regulatory apparatus through the speculative costs and benefits so that the administration can impose its preferred policy outcomes on every sector of the American economy, end quote. This even though it's been changed by the previous president. A Louisiana federal judge sided with the states in blocking Biden from increasing the cost, but the U.S. Court of Appeals disagreed with this ruling, which is how it ended up at the Supreme Court level. So now federal agencies will have to consider a higher cost of carbon until at least the next administration. After several federal lease sales for offshore wind along the East Coast, the West Coast is finally getting its moment. Also on Thursday, the Biden administration announced it would likely auction five sites off of California's coast soon. Three of these sites will be located off central California by Morro Bay, with the other two being up north towards Humboldt. The projects could bring more than 4.5 gigawatts, powering 1.5 million homes. I did a whole video on the Becosphere Climate Corner talking about federal offshore wind plans, so check that out if you haven't already. What will be interesting about these lease sales is that they might involve the first mass deployment of floating offshore wind turbines. Over to Colorado, a district court judge blocked a large fracking plan that would have had free reign of 3,000 acres in the state's national forests. The judge said that the Bureau of Land Management failed to properly take environmental impacts into account when approving the project, known as the North Fork Mancos Master Development Plan, and told BLM and the National Forest Service to go back to the drawing board. The agencies admitted to not meeting the provisions of the National Environmental Policy Act, which requires projects to have an environmental assessment. The project was sent to the courts by a lawsuit from several environmental groups in 2021, which argued the project would exacerbate climate change by causing some 52 million tons of greenhouse gas emissions. That's equivalent to the amount of CO2 emissions New York City emitted in 2016, according to the environmental publication Grist. The part of Colorado the project would develop on is already considered a climate hotspot because temperatures there have already reached more than 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Speaking of the BLM, though, headquarter employees overwhelmingly voted in favor of unionizing, joining the National Treasury Employees Union last week. Unionization became a popular idea after the Trump administration heavily weakened the Bureau. The BLM is responsible for overseeing about a third of federal lands, which is about 10% of U.S. lands overall. The group hopes this will give them a louder voice when it comes to Congress and agency leadership. Now for some climate fails. Something I totally missed until now is a rule made by the European Commission in March that allows farmers to temporarily grow crops and land set aside for biodiversity. This comes at a time when the Russian invasion of Ukraine dropped global grain supplies, but also as the European Union is already falling short on its biodiversity goals. Naturally, environmental advocates were very disappointed by this move because they fear big agriculture will take advantage of this move to try to lower the bloc's ecological standards coming in 2023 under the new Common Agriculture Policy. Right now, the new CAP rules will shift subsidies from big agriculture to practices that protect nature, which is a big deal. Biodiversity is the safety net that holds humanity up, including our food system. The new CAP rules could drop EU emissions by 10%, so I'll keep you posted if Big Ag makes any headway in watering down the new policy. But a bit of good news is that Germany, Europe's largest economy, has informed the EU that it will not fully allow for this extension of farmer access. It will only allow farmers to grow livestock fodder in biodiversity spaces because it doesn't require fertilizers. Over in the UK, security warnings at the country's nuclear facilities have hit a 12-year high at a time when the country wants to expand its nuclear capabilities. 456 incidents were reported to the Office of Nuclear Regulation over 2021, which is 30% higher than in 2020 and double how many were reported in 2018. These issues could relate to a physical security issue like unauthorized personnel on campus, or they could be in the form of cybersecurity issues such as malicious software. This rising rate of security warnings brings concern about how well the office can manage more plants, especially when there's been a slight dip in inspections. There were 136 security inspections in 2021, compared to 144 in 2020 and 169 in 2019. I'm not quite sure why this is the case, and the office didn't really respond to The Guardian as to why, but it's a concerning trend nonetheless. And a new study published in the journal Nature Climate Change warns that people in wealthy nations could stand to lose a lot of money right now if fossil fuels lose their value. If the world moved decisively towards keeping warming below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, $1.4 trillion worth of oil and gas projects would lose their value. These losses would be borne on individuals through their pension funds, investment funds, and shareholdings. Right now, financial institutions have $681 billion of these potentially worthless assets in their balance sheets, which is much more than the estimated $250 to $500 billion of mispriced subprime housing assets that caused the 2007 and 2008 financial crisis, according to The Guardian. That's concerning. This is why it's important for banks to drop their fossil fuel assets now, and why it's also important for there to be other fossil fuel-free options in the market. And that was your climate news from Monday, May 30th. If you like the work I do, please follow this podcast, give it a 5-star rating, leave a review, and consider checking out the Beckosphere Climate Corner YouTube channel. Remember to talk about the climate crisis every single day and to support your local news organizations. Bye for now.